Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. And we come into a week of Jet Nation Radio live on the air. And the New York Jets have won a football game. The second win of the year. I believe it was around 9-point underdog Jets went into a game that nobody gave them a shot, including anybody on this show, anybody on JetNation.com, anybody on ESPN, anybody on CBS, and the list goes on and on. We come into a show today that we can actually bring a little bit of positive energy, positive talk. We haven't had positive Jets talk since the end of the preseason and week one win against the Oakland Raiders. It's been just a downward spiral. But guess what? The Jets are 2-8. It still makes me want to throw up. The season is still a complete disaster. But the New York Jets shows you something that only a team, I think, coached by Rex Ryan can show you. And that was heart. And they showed you that they weren't going to lie down to the maybe the hottest team in the NFL and the hottest quarterback coming in with 12 touchdowns, no interceptions. They weren't going to lie down on offense and just pound the ball and play conservative football in the beginning of the game. They weren't just going to lie down and let the Pittsburgh Steelers run all over them and just move on like it's another game on their schedule. They played hard. They played tough. You saw some things that we liked. And guess what? You can put it out there on Twitter. Put it out there on Facebook. Put it out there on the JetNation.com forums. This will be the week. Credit where credit is due. Michael Vick played a fantastic game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He protected the football. He moved the ball. Moved the ball efficiently. He was good in the pocket. And he picked up first down with his legs and did not take any, you know, major hits. And how about that deep ball to T.J. Graham? Michael Vick played a fantastic football game on Sunday. The last 2 weeks, he hasn't turned the ball over. He's done just enough for the Jets to be in these football games and finally win a football game. Positives again on defense. How about the way this defense played? I mean, you take away the 80-yard touchdown and they're not letting the Steelers in the end zone. You're turning the ball over. You finally, you know, break that stride of three turnovers for the year. They always say turnovers come in bunches. It came in bunches for the Jets. You see guys like Marcus Williams, Jaquan Jarrett, Phillip Adams, guys that we wouldn't even been talking about before this year even started. They played a big-time role against the Steelers into a win. Positives on offense, positives on defense. Nick Folk missed the field goal, so shame on him for missing one field goal every 3 years. So that's about it from my perspective, Joe. What's going on, my man?
I'm good, Brandon. I'm gonna apologize for my voice right now. I went to the game and I lost my voice. And I'm still recovering right now. But before I get into the football talk, it's obviously Veterans Day, and I want to say Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. I think I speak on everybody's behalf at JetNation.com that we appreciate everything that the veterans do and everyone in the military have done for us. You know, kids in other countries have to worry about things like Al-Qaeda and people getting shot in their front lawn, while kids over here are worrying about, you know, what score they got on their spelling test and whether to have Fruit Loops or Reese's Puffs. So I just want to say we appreciate everything that they do. But to get into some football talk, Brandon, you got onto it. There was a lot of positives. We had Odey Egbuchi. He played very well. He was solid. He's a fifth round draft pick who's starting to play very well. It was the first game in a while that our entire line actually ranked out positively. You had Marcus Williams, who played great for an undrafted free agent and only being his second start. There's a whole bunch of positives. You have Vic, who has 116 passer rating, which is two games with over 100 compared to Geno's one in a season and a half. But we're going to be talking about the positives all game, so I'll get into a little bit of the negatives right now.
Downer.
I'm just going to get out of the way. There's not a lot of negatives. But you have Willie Colon's two false starts. I think that he needs to go after this year. He's really been making me mad the entire season with his penalties. You have Antonio Allen only playing three snaps. We had 9 penalties for 75 yards, 1 for 3 in the red zone. Like you said before, we have Folk missing that 45-yard field goal. And then, again, the defense was great, and we played a great game. The Steelers only had 36 rushing yards, which is the second lowest under Rex. And a lot of those yards that they did get in the passing game was in garbage time when the Jets were just playing a prevent-safe kind of defense. But the Steelers were, again, 6-11 on third downs, which has really been a weakness of this Jets team, allowing teams to convert on third and long. But other than that, that's all the negatives we have. But there's a lot of positives for this game, Brandon. And as you can tell, my voice is gone, so I was clearly excited for the game. I know you're watching on your couch.
You were probably the best pumped up 1-8 Jet fan at the football game on Sunday.
Oh yeah, no, I lost as soon as Vic completed that pass to T.J. Graham, my voice was completely gone. There's actually some guys from Europe behind me who I think I was scaring them a little bit because I was screaming so loud. But it was a fun game. I haven't had fun at a Jets game since last year. I didn't even have fun at the Raiders game because we made a whole bunch of mistakes. It wasn't a good game. The first half we looked sloppy, but this is the first game that was actually enjoyable.
Do you know? The one thing, the one negative that I have. And it has nothing to do with the Jets. It has to do with the media, the Twitter, the Facebook, whatever you wanna say. I mean, the one thing that I was listening to is, well, you know, it's too bad the Jets made this move to Michael Vick now, because if the Jets would have started Michael Vick from the beginning of the season, you know, they'd be sitting at 500 or be in playoff contention. I have to be honest with you. That might be one of the most asinine statements I think I've ever heard in terms of watching and trying to do my best to cover football. I don't think, Michael Vick has played one good game for the Jets. And credit where credit is due. He didn't play that well last week. Okay, he played a good game against Pittsburgh. Credit where credit is due. I was impressed with the way Michael Vick played. I think right now, as it stands, he's earned his way to continue to start. But you can't tell me an organization that's trying to develop a quarterback, that's trying to grow into something special, that's trying to finally have a quarterback be the future of this franchise, and Geno Smith didn't play terrible against the Raiders and the Packers, first off. I mean, you can't tell me Michael Vick would be, you know, an 8-1. I saw somebody send me a tweet, 8-1. I swear to God, I almost fell out of my chair at work today. They're going to be 8-1 with Michael Vick as a starter. He came in against San Diego and looked god-awful. So Michael Vick has come in, and yes, did he win the football game and play well against the Steelers? Absolutely. Does he deserve credit? Absolutely. Do you know what Michael Vick is playing for right now? The reason why Michael Vick played well against the Steelers, he's playing well so he can earn himself onto another roster next year because he wants to start. And I think it's a joke that Michael Vick would come out and say, well, I'll tell you, you know, I think this team would have a lot more wins if I was the starter. Well, what a way to back up your teammate and back up your coaching staff and your organization by throwing everybody under the bus and being so self-centered. You had one good game. You stunk against the Chargers. You played below average against the Chiefs. You stunk against the Bills. It was a touchdown game at halftime, and you put the ball on the ground 4 times. So I want everybody to just stop with the 8-1 Jets with Michael Vick as a starter. He's below average. He's not a good quarterback. He played a good game against Pittsburgh. Kudos to him. But let's not play shoulda, coulda, woulda with saying Michael Vick would have led this team to an AFC championship. I mean, it's embarrassing the way that these fans, not the fans, it's not the fans, it's the media that turns, like, listening to people on FAN, it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I see your point, but the main thing about Vick right now in these last two games, which I was pumped about, is zero turnovers, which is great to say a Jets team hasn't had a turnover in 2 weeks. But is this finally the day that you're actually admitting that you see the point of starting Michael Vick, Brandon?
I've seen the point of starting Michael Vick for the past 3 weeks. I just don't.
I don't know about that.
I don't think it's a good decision. I don't think that it does anything for your organization. I mean, if you want to win games, you know, right now, and this is, you know, and this is your goal, and you're trying to win these football games, sure. But I mean, what's a 2-8 team with Michael Vick at its quarterback right now, Joe?
Oh well, I think it's a more motivated team when they know that Geno is just terrible, and you see that the Jets organization is actually just attempting to get some wins.
I give credit to Michael Vick. Should Michael Vick start the rest of this year, barring an injury? Absolutely. He's shown that he rejuvenated the offense. He got himself a W, and he took care of the football. That's great, and he deserves credit for it. But the one thing I wanted to address is just listening to, well, you know, the Jets would be wearing those AFC East champion hats if Michael Vick was – I mean, it's come on. The guy has finally stepped up, and you know what Michael Vick – has done the past 2 weeks that impressed me the most? He's looked like a veteran quarterback, someone who's making good decisions, taking care of the ball, not taking big hits, understanding his limits. He's looked like a guy that he should have looked like against San Diego. Because guess what? If Michael Vick wants to come out and say, well, you know, the Jets would have had more wins if I was the quarterback. If Michael Vick would have came in against San Diego and didn't stink up the Qualcomm Stadium, he would have been the starting quarterback. He lost the job back to Geno Smith just as much as Geno Smith gave it up to Michael Vick. So, I mean, it's his own fault that he wasn't starting after the San Diego game. So I don't want to hear that nonsense. I don't want to hear the 8-1, 7-2 nonsense. I want to take a look at the positives from the Jets game. I really loved the way the secondary looked. I think you saw a classic Rex Ryan scheme. They were bringing pressure, guys standing up. The defense looked fantastic. The best I think I've seen it all year. They were bringing pressure, turning the ball over against one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league right now. What do you think about that, you know, that secondary that everybody – it's been so bad at points and times this year. They really looked like they stepped it up and they got some young talent back there now.
Yeah, hold on, Brandon. I'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to make a point about the Michael Vick thing that you're talking about. You actually made a great point saying that he lost the job in the San Diego game, because I saw that all over Twitter this week too, that he should have been starting after the San Diego game. But if Vic came out and he was lighting it up or even playing decently against San Diego, he wouldn't have lost the job back to Geno. And I also saw what you said with the 8-1 thing, that tweet. I think that's utterly ridiculous as well. I think maybe they could have won maybe one or two more games, maybe the Chicago game they could have won. If Michael Vick was back there. But like you said, he does look like a veteran quarterback. He had three or four huge third down conversions running the football last game. So, and he's throwing the ball away. He's not staring at one receiver. But I definitely see your point about him losing it back during the Chargers game. That's actually an excellent point. So I didn't even think about that. But to get to your point about the corners, I think it's great. I think it's great how Marcus Williams is playing. He was playing, honestly, way higher than my expectations for an undrafted free agent. Phillip Adams was playing really, really well until, obviously, he gave up that bomb to Martavius Bryant at the end of the game.
Time.
Which, oh, yeah, Brandon, let me tell you, though, I was sitting in my seat and I was sweating, because if they lost that game, that would have been even a worse loss than the Packers game. So I was sweating. I stayed there until the end, and that was bad. But, yeah, like you said, Big Ben only got over 300 yards because it was a lot of garbage time. It was a lot of the Jets playing prevent defense. In the first half, they only had 77 yards. But I'm happy about the corners. You know, I'm not saying, you know, they're great or whatever, but I feel like the way that Phillip Adams and Marcus Williams are playing for bottom of the depth chart guys, I feel like right now on this team we have five out of the seven corners that are going to be on the team next year.
I really like
right
the way
now.
Marcus Williams played. I really think that this is a guy that's and it's good for the Jets, because the Jets have had such bad luck with these late round picks, these undrafted picks. They don't usually turn out for the Jets. You don't see the Richard Shermans of the world end up on the Jets. Not saying Marcus Williams is going to be a Richard Sherman. But this is a guy who played his way onto the football field because he worked hard in practice, he stood out against the rest, and he got himself onto the field. So I look at it from a positive. And this is something that can happen with a 1-8 team, where you're sitting here thinking to yourself, well, why not give this guy a shot? Because what do we have to lose? Let's let Phillip Adams go play. Let's let Marcus Williams go play. Let's let Jaquan Jericho play. Let's let these guys go out there and see what they have. Because next year you're going to say, wow, look at the way Marcus Williams played down the stretch of this year. Look how he played against the Steelers in that hot offense. Look how he played against Antonio Brown. He had a great game. I mean, these are the positives that you can take out of being, you know, the only positives out of being 2-8 is you can see what you have and build on it. And stars can develop on a bad team. They can, because the younger players who don't see the field that much, they can now step onto the field. They can now let their, you know, let their skills be shown and move from there. But let's go to Zach. Zach wants to talk about the Jets and Pittsburgh game. Zach, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Zach?
This week was probably the great week. Probably a great week to be a Jet fan. I mean, overall, I think we played a really good game. You know, with Vic at quarterback. You know, and with the defense. You know, really playing to their to really what they really can play. And you know, it's really, really funny because, you know, the Jets didn't even know who their cornerbacks are going to be until, like, Friday or something or whatever. They get these no-name guys off the streets, and they play really well against a really, really hot Pittsburgh team with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, the question obviously is, why couldn't they play like this the whole season? Is it because they showed up? No, it's just, you know, it's an overall team effort. You know, everybody, every single category, you know, really stepped up. We know wide receivers, you know, even though they didn't get to Decker, you know, early on, you know, they it just shows that, you know, one guy isn't really the reason why this team is either, you know, struggling or doing well at times, you know?
Oh, of course. I mean, it's, again, what I was just saying before is you can find stars on a 2-8 football team. And how do you do that? You let the Marcus Williams of the world play. You let these guys go out there and show what they have. And I think that's what the Jets have done, more so on defense than they have on offense. And I think that's a token to Rex Ryan and, you know, what he wants to see. He wants to see what he has on defense because, let's be honest here, I mean, when you look at the offensive, the names on offense, you have, you know, Michael Vick, Eric Decker, Percy Harvin, Jason Morrow, Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson. Those are big name NFL players. When you switch sides to the defensive ball, your big names are Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson. Maybe David Harris, maybe DeMario Davis. Other than that, you got a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say practice squad, but you got a lot of third string depth playing on your defense right now, whether it be in the linebacker spot subbing in, whether it be at the safety position, whether it be at the cornerback. So Rex is letting these guys earn their way onto the field, and I think you're really seeing a token. I mean, the fact of why can't they play this way all year, I mean, let's face it. The Jets have been out of two games or three games, you know, where they've gotten blown out. They could have won the Green Bay game. They could have won the Chicago game. They could have won the New England game. You know, they could have won the Lions game. They could have won a lot of games. And was it because of Geno Smith? No. It was because the Jets didn't do the little things that you have to do to win. What did they do to win on Sunday? They forced turnovers. They protected the football. They played good defense. That is the recipe for a New York Jets W. And they didn't do it. They haven't really done it. The only game that they really should have won was the New England game. But they didn't play great defense. So I think you make great points, Zach. I think you're on to something in terms of, you know, seeing these guys play. And I think it was a great game on Sunday to really open some people's eyes to see there is some young talent out there in the Jets defense.
Yeah, definitely. Also, with the whole entire thing with the billboards and stuff, you know, not only does that, you know, personally show Rex and Woody and John, but that just really shows how the whole entire, you know, fan base has really, really, you know, gone away and really, you know, not really showing up to games. You know, and we all know half the stadium was filled up to, you know, at least 75-80% yellow and black, you know, but, you know, it was a very, very, very big win, you know, and hopefully, you know, if they can continue to play like this off their bye against Buffalo, you know, maybe they can really, you know, really beat some teams, you know, really play as spoilers, really, and, you know, just show people that this team is better than 2-8.
Well, I think they, I think a lot of people think of them as better as 2-8. Thanks for the call, Zach. I think that in terms of the fan base not stepping up their game, I don't agree with that. I think that the fan base, when you're a fan, especially in a market like this, and when you're a Jet fan, you want to see results and you want to see them now. The Jet fan has no patience. They want to see their team successful. It hurts when the Jets are. I mean, I saw somebody put out that I don't love the Jets. Man, I you cut my skin. I think green and white comes out of me. So I mean, everybody loves the Jets. The Jet fan, the reason why the Jets are spending money on flying planes over the practice is to fire John Idzik. The reason why they're putting billboards up and the reason why they're not showing up the games is really because they love their team. And the whole Steeler thing, I went to the Steelers game last year when the Jets were right around 4-4, 5-5, and everywhere the Steelers go, there's always Steeler fans there, especially in this market with diverse fans everywhere. The Steeler fan base always travels. I thought, you know, that was overblown this week. And again, everything gets overblown when you're 1-8 going into a football game. But the Jet fans love their team maybe more than any other fan does, and they show their care. They show that they care either by negative actions. Or you see when the Jets are going well, you will see a fan base support them like no other. And that's all I have to say about that.
Oh, well, I can speak on behalf of the Jets fans that were there. It wasn't 70-30 percent. It was more of like 55% Jets fans, 45% Steelers fans. And that's basically expected, like you said, when you go to a Steelers game, they travel very well. They're always there. But let me tell you right now, the Jets fans that were there, I know there's a couple probably listening right now, but I respect the fans who were there because the fans who were there were extremely loud. That's one of the loudest I've heard the stadium some of these games when it was almost all Jets fans. At the end of the game, they put that – I know you've been to games, Brandon. You see that little decibel meter that they put up. We got to 105 on the decibel meter with only 50% of the fans still in the stadium. So the fans were loud. They were great that game. But with the billboard and saying – That shows a lot of the Jets fans' frustrations. I just think that's one small percentage of Jets fans who, in my opinion, are very idiotic, and I think you could spend that money on something a lot more important than putting up a billboard, you know, 40 miles from where John Idzik even works. So that doesn't do anything to get him fired. It's very dumb. It doesn't mean anything. There was another plane flying over during the game that said, what did it say? It said rebuilding since 1969. It's pointless. It doesn't do anything. It's for a good laugh, but it doesn't do anything. But to get into some more important stuff, Brandon.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the corners. Yeah, exactly. I don't think that even deserve the fire. John Idzik people even deserve airtime on anything. But to speak about the corners like we were before, I know we didn't mention Jaquan Jarrett, who deserves to get talked about. He had 10 tackles, he had a sack, he had 2 picks, and a fumble recovery, and he played an excellent game. That was one of the best games from a safety I personally seen saw from a Jets game, you know, since maybe Kerry Rhodes. But to get into the corners again, we were talking about Marcus Williams and Phillip Adams, and we don't have great corners right now. And obviously, we're in need of a number one corner for next year. But do you feel bad as a fan next year if we had guys like maybe Darren Walls at the 4, Marcus Williams at the 5, and Phillip Adams at the 6? Like, I think right now the good thing about this is, like you said before, is we're seeing the young players. We're seeing who steps up. With the point with Jaquan Jarrett, he got the start and look what he did. So
no, I'm telling you right now, I think you could see these guys be on the roster next year. I think you're going to see one of the biggest Jets roster overhaul you've seen in a long time next year. I think missing the playoffs for 4 straight years, you know, is going to cause Woody Johnson to cut. You know, he has all that money underneath the cap. Regardless who's the general manager, regardless who's the head coach, you're gonna see an overhaul on this roster. They're gonna pay the guys that deserve to be paid, the Wilkersons, the Curlys of the world. But I think you're gonna see them make big time splashes in free agency. I think you're gonna see them go out and address every single need that they have, starting with the quarterback position. Again, I don't see the starting quarterback of the Jets next year on this roster. I really don't. So I think what's really gonna happen is. you know, that they're going to go into this offseason and they're going to say, you know what, we finished the season, whatever they did, it's either five, you know, if they went out, they finished 500. I don't know if that is possible, but with their schedule and the way they played against the Steelers, who knows, with the Jets. And, you know, in terms of what they're putting on the field, they're not going to go into another season like this year with question marks everywhere. It doesn't matter who's the general manager. The owner is not going to allow the Jets to trot out the Phillip Adams and Marcus Williams at cornerback. You're going to see big names on this team next year. Some people might like it. Some people, you know, might not. I mean, I'm telling you, from my opinion, I don't see Woody Johnson not going out and spending a serious amount of money to get a big name quarterback, whether it be through the draft or see what you can do in free agency or trade, or see what you can do in terms of, you know, trying to find that new piece to the puzzle. And I don't see them not going out and getting a big name secondary defender, whether it be at safety, whether it be a cornerback. The Jets are not going to go into this season and say, well, you know, we had these guys, they played pretty well at the end of this year, let's build off this roster and let's go into next year. It's not going to happen. 4 years missing the playoffs, Woody Johnson's going to spend his way out of a, you know, 4-12 season. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand with the complete overhaul. I don't think it's going to be as big as an overhaul as, you know, the 2011 and the 2012 years. I understand that the Jets need a first-string corner. But I was talking about the corners in Marcus Williams.
Well, I think what you mean Walls. About, to answer your question about them, Joe, is I think that they'll be on the team next year. But let me retract what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to be a roster overhaul, meaning everybody gets cut and all new guys are brought in. I think you're going to see players added like you haven't seen in a while on the Jets. They're going to go out and sign pieces to the puzzle and add them into, you know, some of the pieces they already have. Do I think Phillip Adams and Marcus Williams could be solid, you know, situational players for the Jets next year and make this roster and you know, have an impact? Absolutely, I do. But do I think that they're going to go into next year and say, these can be our guys to play corner and these can be our guys to lead? No, I don't. I don't think they're going to do that. But let's go to Lewis, who wants to call in to talk about Michael Vick. Lewis, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I wanted to get your thoughts and see if you honestly believe if Mike Vick continues to do really good this season, he's racking up the wins, should the Jets bring him back next year?
Oh, yeah. See, I think me and Brandon disagree on this. I say that if the Jets bring Michael Vick back next year and they bring a quarterback, you know, like a Jameis Winston or like a Marcus Mariota in, it wouldn't be that big of a deal if he proves something the rest of the year, because historically the Jets have brought in rookie quarterbacks, or even in the last couple of years, we start them the first year and then they tank. So I think it's time to change it around. And honestly, I wouldn't have a problem with the Jets re-signing Vic and then having a guy like Mariota or whoever they bring in to sit under him for another year if Michael Vick proves that he's worthy to do so. How do you feel about that, Brandon, with them bringing in Michael Vick for next year?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's a chance Michael Vick is on the Jets next year. And the reason why I say that is because the Jets know Michael Vick is not in their future plans. And I think Michael Vick, and you could tell by the way Michael Vick was talking, you know, he even said himself, he goes, I feel like, you know, if I play at my top level, I can start, you know, on any team in this league. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You know, he's getting, he's playing right now. He's trying to play at a high level because he wants to go to another team next year that he can probably be in the same type of situation he's with the Jets. The Jets want to get somebody next year to fill this void at the quarterback position, whether it be through the draft, whether it be through free agency. They're not going to go with another year of Michael Vick. He was brought in this year, you know, as an emergency to Geno Smith. I think Geno really played himself so far out of a position that I don't even think he is going to, you know, even be considered for the job for the Jets next year. I don't see, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I don't think the starting quarterback of the Jets is on this roster. And I don't think Michael Vick is interested in taking this role again. I think Michael Vick, who's playing later in his career, wants to go to a team that, you know, potentially he could play on that can be competitive to get into the playoffs. I don't think Michael Vick wants to sit on a 2-8 football team. I think the only reason he's doing it right now, obviously, because he's under contract, and he's trying to show everybody else and out there that he can stay healthy and have an impact. I don't think Michael Vick will have any interest in the Jets after this year. He wants to finish his career playing in playoff games, not in meaningless football games in November.
Yeah, but see, the thing I disagree with you is about Michael Vick. I don't think he's going to have a whole bunch of options to go to other places, and I think that's why he came to the Jets, because he knew that they had Geno Smith, who would possibly be benched. If he had an option to go to a team where he would be starting right away, he would have done it. So I don't think
he had some options.
Yeah, but there wasn't. You don't think there was options last year? I think a lot of those teams, like the Bucks and like even the Redskins or teams like that, are going to draft a quarterback. I don't think they're going to want to sign Michael Vick.
Yeah, but let me tell you right now, if Michael Vick pulls the Jets into 4 or 5 wins and plays like he did this week, I mean, a lot of teams are going to take a look at him. A lot of teams might offer him, you know, to come in and compete with their players that they have now. And I think Michael Vick is going to look at his options, look at his age, and say, I want to play on a team that has a chance to make it into the playoffs and be competitive. And when he looks at the Jets, I don't think he truly believes that. And that's why he even came out and said, I feel like I could start on any team in this league. That's Michael Vick talking about, you know, wanting to further his career.
But what team going to be in contention for a playoff spot needs a quarterback and would sign Michael Vick? And that's my only point.
What if you looked at a team, for example, how bad they're playing right now on the way on offense? What if you looked at a team like the Chicago Bears?
Say the Bears.
Look at a team like the Bears, who, you know, have Alshon Jeffrey, have Brandon Marshall, have Matt Forte, have, you know, a decent group of guys on defense who are just playing, you know, so poorly right now. They take out Jay Cutler, who's been a turnover machine, has played bad. You slide in a veteran quarterback like that. You don't think Mike Vick, with those type of players, can maybe, you know, to himself, I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's good enough to start on any team. I think the Jets are just in such a terrible situation, they have to start him. But I think that Michael Vick, you know, could be put into a situation like that where he might feel more comfortable and might want to, you know, further his career in terms of getting into the playoffs one more time and having a shot to do something. What do you think, Lewis?
It's true. I think that if he continues to keep playing the way he does and he ends the season on a good note, I guarantee like 3 to 4 teams are going to be calling up to see if they could bring him in. I don't think anybody's foolish enough to get him a starting spot right off the bat, but I think they'll definitely bring him in just to see what he's got. Maybe he could bring that magic over what they saw this year into what they need next year.
Yeah,
I completely agree. I think he's playing. I really think Michael Vick right now is playing for a spot on another team right now for next year. I think that, you know, he's trying to show what he still has left in the tank. He's trying to show that he can win with a mediocre team right now. And if he does that and he pulls off four wins or so, or 4 or 5 wins to end this year, I mean, you're looking at a guy who a lot of people are going to say, wow, look what Michael Vick did with the Jets. And I think that would be a big positive on his side. He knows he has the starting job here for the rest of the year, barring an injury. If he shows he can stay healthy and play at a decent level, you watch. There are going to be a lot of teams that will be looking to bring in Michael Vick come next year.
Yeah, but how are you going to say that's not going to be the Jets, though? You don't think that the Jets, if they know they're going to draft a rookie quarterback, would want
I didn't say the Jets are not. I don't say that the Jets are. They're not going to be in contention to bring him back. I think the Jets might want to bring Michael Vick back in here as a veteran stopgap starter, like he was to Geno Smith. But it all depends on what direction they go, Joe. I mean, if you're going to go draft, sure, you want to have a veteran leadership that, you know, can be like what Kyle Orton is to E.J. Manuel and what Michael Vick is to Geno Smith. That's a different story. If you go out and try and bring in a free agent here, a free agent who, you know, is a veteran quarterback, then the free agent quarterback's going to tell Michael Vick to go away. He's not going to want anything to do with him. So, I mean, you're either going to say have two veteran free agent quarterbacks battle out and see what you have for next year. You're going to draft a quarterback. You're going to trade for a quarterback. The quarterback situation in New York right now is a mess. And it all depends on what direction they go, whether or not they're in the market to bring back Michael Vick. But do I think that he's in their plans for next year? No, I don't.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree. I think that Vick could be back next year. But I want to ask you a question, Lewis. I know that you write for Rant Sports, and you write a lot of good articles, and you write a new article just about every other day. And I just want to ask you, what were your thoughts about the Jets versus Steelers game on Sunday?
Well, thank you for the compliments. I appreciate it. I thought it was definitely a kind of a game that I definitely did not predict. I for sure saw them getting destroyed by the Steelers, but it kind of made me a little bit upset and kind of question what the Jets were thinking earlier this year. Had they put Vic in from week one and said, look, I guess in case you get injured or in case you play terribly, it's your team, I really think we wouldn't be where we are right now. I think that if they just would have just took that blueprint they took to beat one of the better teams in the NFL and kind of just stuck with, you know, running the football, giving Vic the options to kind of pick and choose what he feels is best to keep the chains moving, would have been a whole different story. I think if he would have started, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah, but I mean, anybody can say that. You know, I think that you look at going into this year, if you're the New York Jets after week one, the last thing you want is Michael Vick starting on your team. And when Michael Vick was brought, I mean, let's take it for what it is. Michael Vick has played one good game so far this year. He played decent against Kansas City, didn't do enough to win the game. He came in against San Diego and was, I think, in my opinion, I thought he was played a lot worse than Geno Smith did. He came in against the Buffalo Bills and looked god-awful as well. Looked like a turnover machine, couldn't move the football. Michael Vick played himself out of a job after the San Diego game where Rex Ryan came out and said, we got beat 31-0. Both my quarterbacks stink. I'm going to go with the young guy just because I want to see what he has. And, you know, we know what, you know, Michael Vick can do years ago. I think anybody could say Michael Vick can come in and play. Sure, let's start Michael Vick week two. But Michael Vick was given the opportunity against San Diego to take the reins from Geno Smith. And what did he do? He said he wasn't prepared. He came out and said that. He didn't have enough practice, didn't prepare as much for the game. He stunk it up on the field. They gave Geno Smith the ball back, and that was the end of it. So Michael Vick is just as much at fault for not starting as anybody else for making that decision.
Yeah, I definitely see your point. I agree. I think that he definitely dropped the ball because, like you said, he didn't even prepare at all. That golden opportunity to go in, he messed that up big time. I think what it was is that, you know, when you lose, the mentality, the attitude, just the entire morale is, like, done. So makes sense why he didn't really go incredibly hard during practice and study up the extra notes on their playbooks and stuff because he figured there's no way they're playing anyway because it's just that bad. But I really think if they shifted gears, and if you see how he plays in the pocket, you see how he talks to the team, like, he's a veteran leader. Like, I think that was one of the big things that Geno was lacking because he looked like he had it. But then when he got the interceptions and the turnovers and those three and outs, it killed the whole morale. And I think if Vic was through that, it would have been different because at least he would have had the experience to kind of make them bounce back.
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, let's put it in this perspective. I mean, people are talking about what the Jets would be. They came out of the San Diego game, you know, they were 1-4 and going into Denver at home. So, I mean, the wheels weren't, you know, off the wagon as much as they were the last 2 weeks when Michael Vick has had to come in. I mean, he had an opportunity to play. He blew it with his own play. I think that the Jets had to they had to give this Geno Smith a shot. They can't keep going into seasons and, you know, getting young quarterbacks and playing with their head in terms of, are you going to play? You're not going to play. What are you going to do? You know, you're our guy. You're not our guy. It's not healthy, and that's why this organization has had such troubles developing a quarterback, because the Jet fan, and it seems like the Jet organization, loves the flavor of the month. Well, who can help me right now? Who can help me this? You know, maybe this guy can be good for this month and everybody will love him, but is he in the long-term plans? That's why I think you're going to see this roster go through a lot of overhaul this offseason, because Woody Johnson is not going to put fannies in the seats missing the playoffs four straight years. And that's his biggest concern. And I think you're going to see them spend their way out of this. I really do.
They have to. If they have to put the money in, because it's a debacle. Like, they didn't get any complimentary receivers to go with Decker. They didn't get any quarterbacks at all for a system that is built on man-to-man coverage. They have to really bolster up, because I think it makes sense, though, because last year they had the same problems on offense. What do? They went out, they fixed it. You got Chris Johnson, Decker, they got all these pieces for offense. Now the defense, it's a debacle. So I expect, like you said, the exact same thing. They're going to go out and get some heavy hitters, some cornerbacks. They're going to get a whole new roster of people to kind of balance things out.
It's almost like this. It's almost like this roster. It's almost like Rex Ryan was really handicapped this year. You know, you actually saw his defense play well on Sunday, and the reasons for it is because Marcus Williams and Phillip Adams, you know, played very well man-to-man coverage against those Steelers receivers, which cleared up, you know, different blitz packages, which got to Ben Roethlisberger, which forced some turnovers. I mean, you actually saw what decent, good cornerback play does in Rex Ryan's scheme, and when you finally got it, maybe for the first time this year, you know, you saw what this team could be on defense. And I think, and what you're saying is so true, where this defense is built on man-to-man coverage. You had the best in the game, Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie, who were locking down guys, and Rex Ryan can, you know, bring guys from all different angles. You finally saw him do that against Pittsburgh because he had Marcus Williams and Phillip Adams, not to compare those tandems, to lock down these receivers. So I think Rex Ryan finally got a little bit of a taste of what he likes to do and was finally given the opportunity to play Rex Ryan defense against the Steelers, and you saw what it did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can definitely say that he was handicapped this year. I still don't think he's going to have a chance next year to prove what he could do with a new quarterback and some corners. But I think we can all agree that the Jets, I don't think it's going to be a complete overhaul. I think they're definitely going to have to address the positions like the right guard, because Willie Colon has been terrible this entire year. You're going to have to get a young outside linebacker who can actually run fast, because we have guys like Calvin Pace and Kupels who are just very slow, big outside linebackers. We're going to need a true free safety, and then you're going to need at least another corner or two. So
That's an overhaul there, Joe.
you just named every position on defense. Yeah. Well, no, outside linebacker, safety, and corner isn't every position. It's not going to be like 2012 where they got rid of DeVito, they got rid of Puha, they got rid of all these guys. It's going to be – I don't think this roster is at the point where it needs to have an overhaul. I don't think it's the roster this year. It was the quarterback and it was the coaching. I don't think that we're that far away from being.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay, but Brandon, then answer me this question. Before this year, before we got into this year, why were we both predicting 9-7, 10-6 if they didn't have a good roster?
Oh, well, I mean, you saw a lot of guys go down, too. I mean, you saw a lot of guys that they brought in from the draft that didn't pan out that everybody was excited for. You were excited to see what Dee Milliner could bring to the table. You were excited to see what Dexter McDougal could bring to the table. We saw Geno Smith in preseason. The Jets looked pretty well on offense, and Geno Smith looked like he had grown and developed into something that could be, you know, a decent quarterback in this league based off what we saw in the preseason that excited everybody. I think you saw a defense, you know, up front that everybody was ranting and raving about in terms of Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson. I think you had Dimitri Patterson that you loved so much when he was brought in here that everybody was ranting and raving about.
There are
a bunch of guys. There were a bunch of players. When you compare the roster that was, you know, put together for the beginning of the year that we had no idea about, I mean, the wide receivers that we drafted, everybody thought that they were going to be the next coming of Wayne Krepet coming in here. So I think that everybody's expectations were high because the faith was in the players that were here, just like the Jets organization thought. It's obviously not there. The players we saw that we saw in preseason and even week one, they're not playing up to par. Either they're hurt, they're not on the team, they're not on the roster, they're not good enough to make this roster. I think that we thought we're sitting here 9-7, 10-6. I think you can put some type of blame on coaching, but I don't think it's just the coaching and the quarterback. I think the offensive line play has been inconsistent. I think the secondary has been a disaster outside of, you know, a couple good bright spots and the Steelers game. I think that the defensive line has not lived up to expectations this year. You look at the Charger games where Brandon Oliver's running for – I think he's still running. I mean, it's just – you look at different points of the season. I mean – No part of this team has lived up to full expectation, whether it be the line, the running game. I mean, 1 week Chris Ivory's running for, and Chris Johnson are running for 100, 150 yards, and, you know, the week against Denver, you know, you're barely running the football. So it's so
yeah, that's coaching though too.
But it's not. You're putting the players out on the field. They have to execute. At some point in time, the players have to execute. I mean, that's the problem. They don't have the talent to execute the plays. I mean, Marcus Williams and Phillip Adams went out and executed Rex Ryan's, you know, playbook, and the defense executed Rex Ryan's scheme, and look what you saw. If the players can step up and play somewhat, you know, at a high level, they can be successful. Problem is they don't have the talent to do that, and that's why I think they, you know, you're going to need a new quarterback, you're going to need another cornerback, you're going to need another linebacker, you're going to need at least another lineman, you're probably going to need another running back. So, I mean, you're looking at a lot of positions that they're going to take a hard look at, whether it be through the draft or whether it be through free agency. They're going to, when I say overhaul, they're going to bring in a lot of different faces, see what fits, and see if they can turn this roster upside down. Because right now, it's a talent problem. It's a talent problem for the Jets. It really is.
I see what you're saying about the talent, but then you have games where, you know, Chris Ivory is running for 50, 60 yards on the first drive, and then the next drive he's not in, and Chris Johnson's in, running into the middle instead of running on the outside, and you see Chris Johnson not getting screen passes and flat routes, and then you see Rex Ryan using timeouts at bad times. So I'm not going to put this completely on the roster, because if the Jets, I know the guys I'm going to say aren't amazing, and they're not even that good, but if we did have Dimitri Patterson, McDougal, and then Shaq Evans didn't go down, and then D. Milner didn't go down, I think we win another couple games. But I'm still definitely going to blame this. I mean, not all of this, but I'm gonna put this half and half with the coaching, because I don't think the coaching, not specifically from Rex Ryan, but I think that Morning, like, so far this year has been underwhelming, and I think some of these games, some of his decision making has been more than questionable.
Go ahead, Lewis.
It's absolutely true. I think the biggest thing that I think we didn't hit on the head yet was the whole situation with John Insick and the way that he drafts horribly. Like, people he's picked, I remember when the draft came up, I was reading reports on the people that he was most likely going to get, and they all had the same thing. They were injury prone. They had issues off the field. They didn't really live up to, like, the potential of what, you know, you can get with 12 draft picks. Like, what boggles my mind is, why didn't he try to salvage something, like maybe get like two or three draft picks and trade it away to either get like a higher draft pick or even get like some players back or something? Because if you look at Calvin Pryor, for example, what has he done all year long?
I mean, and you're even now you're talking about the worst part about the Calvin Pryor situation is, you know, I'm not going to judge his, you know, I'm not going to label him as a bust or anything like that, or say, you know, what have you done for me, because he is a rookie coming into a tough situation. But when you're missing meetings and you got players having to have conversations with you and question your heart and question your integrity as a player in your rookie season, that's a problem. And I mean, you look at guys like Odell Beckham, you look at Sammy Watkins, you look at these, you know, those two guys that I look at, who you're thinking to yourself, well, you got 12 picks, what could you have done to potentially trade up and bring somebody like that in? You even look at, you know, like a Brandon Cooks in New Orleans. I mean, There are guys out there. I don't crush John Isaac for the Calvin Pryor trade, because I think time will tell whether or not that was a good decision by the Jets and John Isaac. I don't know if he will be around to see if it was a good pick or not. But I think that, you know, in terms of the draft, I definitely think you look at Jalen Saunders, you look at Shaq Evans, you look at McDougal, you know, you look at Quincy Enunma. I mean, those are not good picks. They're not good picks. They're ineffective players. So I just think that you're on to something, Lewis. I don't really think that and the worst part about it, in my opinion, and this is a guy, John Isaac, who his number one preach is the draft. We build through the draft. We build through the draft. He snubbed free agents because he wants to build through the draft. He has a lot of money in the salary cap because he wants to build through the draft. Well, you can't build a team through the draft if you don't know how to draft. That's the biggest problem that I have. But, Lewis, I want to thank you for the call, and we definitely hope to hear from you soon. Keep going with your articles, and keep doing your thing, man. It's awesome. It's a great read. You can follow him at LTJ81. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night. Always a pleasure.
You too. Thanks, Lewis. And, Joe, quick point before we go to break and pick our four best games of the week. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just about the draft. I think we definitely have to give more time to John Ezek about the draft.
I could Paul, hear the smoke coming out of your ears all the way from over here.
No, it's not, and he drafts great people, but when we're losing, people tend to look to the negatives more. You don't see that he drafted a guy. Everybody's like, oh, well, yeah, he drafted Sheldon Richardson, but what else? The guy is Sheldon freaking Richardson. He's a really good player. He got Odey Ebushi, who's now, I think he's ranked as the 21st guard in the NFL the last couple of weeks. So that's good. I think the whole thing about Calvin Pryor right now is ridiculous. I think that with him playing in the secondary that he's playing in and taking him and putting him at free safety is like taking a polar bear and putting him in Africa. I think he's completely out of position. He's not
what part of Africa.
It is South Africa. but he drafts a guy in Jason Morrow who is exceeding expectations right now. He's actually doing a very, very good job for only playing like 40% of the snaps. I agree with the Jalen Saunders thing. It's a shame that Dexter McDougal, who is a third round pick, and then Shaq Evans, who's a fourth round pick, who would be hopefully decent contributors to this year, are in, and it hurts that you can't see those guys. So we don't know what they're going to turn out to be. Anunua is on the practice squad, so a lot of those late guys you didn't expect to work out. I wish that a guy like Jeremiah George did work out, because a fifth rounder isn't that great. We haven't been able to see what Dakota Dozier has done. So with your third and fourth pick being injured, it's hard to really tell. And with Calvin Pryor, it's also hard to tell because, like I said, he's out of position. I think we have to give this a lot more time to say it's an awful draft class and he completely whiffed on all these picks. Because if next year, if Dakota Dozier is starting, Shaq Evans is a solid contributor, and Dexter McDougal can hopefully take down the slot position from Kyle Wilson, who I hope to God is gone next year, then everybody will be saying, oh my God, he's great. You know, we're a wild card team, and he did such a good job. But nobody's willing to admit that right now because we're 2-8, and everybody is just so negative. I don't think you can address how good a draft class is after 10 days. Especially with Calvin Pryor.
I agree with you, Joe. I really do. But I think you just have to look at the obvious, and 12 picks and 4 being on the roster is not good. I mean, by the law, by math there, I think that John Idzik, a guy, again, if you're going to snub free agents and you're going to build through the draft, you have to make sure that you're one of the best drafting teams in football. And the Jets have been far from that. And that's my problem. If the Jets, if you're going to preach the draft, you have 12 picks. They should have been feeding on those 12 picks. We should be seeing 6 or 7 guys on this roster. Now, you don't have to be making, they don't have to be impact players right now, but they should be in the games making some type of impact. We see guys on the practice squad. We see guys on IR. We got 4 guys on this roster. There's no way around it. There's 4 guys on this roster. One of them's not showing up to meetings, who's your first round pick, who's been being benched already. It's not good. And you're going to snub free agents. You didn't give free agents the time of day. So, you know, it's a problem, and it's a roster problem.
Well, something else you have to look at with the picks is too. He traded Chris Ivory for a fourth, and he traded Harvin for a sixth that could possibly be a fourth.
Absolutely.
And the thing about it, and Odey Ebushi in the fifth round is looking like a great move as of right now. And it's hard to evaluate. Well, you said there was only 4 on this roster. There's actually 7. If you count Dexter McDougal and Shaq Evans, who you couldn't really predict. I know that people said, they're on IR, but what could he do about that? It's not like Dexter McDougal, not draft
injury prone players who barely played in college.
It's not like Dexter McDougal was getting his ankle injured and his knees injured. He broke his collarbone because he's riding a freaking scooter. It's not like he was getting injured on the field all the time.
I can hear that in your voice.
It just gets me a little mad when people say he's injury prone when he hurt his shoulder. It's not like a knee or an ankle. You have Shaq Evans, who had no injury history, and then he comes in and he gets injured. And oh, he's injury prone. He's not injury prone. It's the first big injury he's had. And then he's drafting guys who don't have character. But if you actually go back and you looked at the draft picks, just about all these guys were team captains and were guys who their coaches commended for for having excellent behavior and coming to all these meetings, and people are, oh, well, Inunua, he did this and did that. Inunua never had any charges before this, so how does he predict
this,
that? I think
this guy's
want,
on fire, ladies and gentlemen. He's on fire right now.
People want John Isaac to be a fortune teller and be able to tell the future. He can't do that. You don't know if a guy... I've never had any criminal history, but I guess if I was drafted by the Jets and I did something, John Isaac was supposed to know that. So I think people to evaluate a draft class after 10 days is terrible. I'm honestly hoping, just like when I was in the stadium on Sunday, that all these Steelers fans would go home sad. I honestly hope that Dexter McDougal and Shaq Evans come back next year, and a guy like Quincy Inunua is sixth on the roster, and people are, oh, well, we were wrong.
Roster, but I definitely think McDougal and Shaq Evans could eventually have an impact on this team. Joe, take a breath. You're fired up. I love it. What do we say? Every week, we always bring the passion on Jet Nation Radio. That's what we're here for every single week. And this week is positive, Joe. We went down the negative road again. The Jets broke the schneid. They are not the first Jets team to drop 9 in a row. They took care of business at home. Everybody's pumped up. They're soaring into the bye week. So let's go into our Jet Nation Radio picks of the week. And, Joe, I think this week was a pretty good week for one of the hosts on the show, right?
Yeah, Brandon, you went 3-2. I guess for your record so far, that's a decent week. You know, I was setting up a pretty at a lot of 4-1 record. So yeah, if you want to take 3-2 as a positive, then you can. But
well, what was your record this week?
I was 2-3, but I think it's a lot to be talking crap from somebody who's you know, 4 games under me right now. So I think you have to slow your roll.
All
right,
so hold on one second. What was my record again?
3-2.
All right, hold on. I had to keep the fans from giving me a round of applause. They were begging me.
I see how it is. You know, you go 3-2 and you get an applause, but I go 4-1 a couple weeks in a row, I get nothing. I see what the show is geared to, and it's, you know, it's benefiting Brandon Dowling. I see how it is.
Maybe if you can teach our behind the scenes guys to show you how to use the soundboard, you might be able to get a round of applause. But let's go into our first game here. Thursday night football. It's a big matchup. Both teams coming off bad losses in the last minutes of their game. The Dolphins take on the Bills at home. Who do you like in this game and why, Joe?
You know, this one's really going to hurt me. I thought about it before we went on the show, and I'm gonna pick the Dolphins. I have a bad feeling, though, that they're going to disappoint me. But, you know, they're both 5-4 teams. It's a division game. They usually play pretty close games. The Dolphins have been impressive, at least to me so far. I didn't expect them to have a 5-4 mark right now. They lost the first game of the year to the Bills 10-29, so I think that they're going to be a little bit pissed off and come out hard. The Dolphins came out. They beat the Chargers 37-0. And right now, the thing that's really, really surprising me is that they're number 2 defense in the NFL, which is pretty crazy. So I'm gonna pick the Dolphins, even though I have a bad feeling about it.
Of course you do, because I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. I think Buffalo going into Miami, I think that the last game, the loss against the Lions, is what's going to propel Miami into what will be a 500 season. I think that they were riding high after the San Diego game. They played Detroit last week. They lose that game in heartbreaking fashion. I don't think this team has the mental toughness to gear up for a Thursday game coming off a loss like that against a division rival. Buffalo is going to come out in this football game. Buffalo is going to take it, and I'm going to take a game on Joe. So let's move to our next one here. Philadelphia, Mark Sanchez for the first time in his career throwing touchdowns and 300 yards and no picks at his first time in 63 starts. I think every Jet fan last night was either crying or applauding when they watched Mark Sanchez play. I was really kind of happy to see him do well in Philadelphia, and he is a free agent after this year. We talked about looking for quarterbacks in the free agency. Give him the blank check, Woody. Philly goes into Green Bay, who might be my sleeper team for the Super Bowl because they just keep beating the crap out of people under the radar.
But Brandon, I'm telling you right now, if this off season, We're talking about Mark Sanchez and re-signing with the Jets. You're going to have to give me a rain check. Tell me every time before because I'm not coming on. Sanchez made a couple good throws. He made a good throw to the tight end in the end zone.
He looked like
Brandon, I'm telling you right now. Brandon, I'm telling you right now, with the time he had and the receivers getting open like they did, me and you could have stood in there and looked almost as good. He didn't. He wasn't great. He's a product of Chip Kelly's system, just like
Dan
Nick Foles.
Marino.
They made Nick Foles look like Peyton Manning last year. What, he had 27 touchdowns and 3 picks. It's the system. It's Chip Kelly. Some of those throws, I'm not even kidding. I could have made, you could have made it. He wasn't that impressive. I went to bed with my blood boiling. I couldn't believe all the stuff about Mark Sanchez on Twitter. I had to log off about 10 o'clock. It was ridiculous.
But to get
to the game. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to take the Packers in this one. Rodgers against the Bears was ridiculous. I cannot believe how good he played. And having 6 touchdown passes and a half is just out of this world. Ever since the first couple of weeks when they were underachieving, he has played really, really well. And I think they're going to continue that against the Eagles. And honestly, I hope that they dominate him. I hope that Sanchez throws 10 picks because I don't want to hear anything.
So bitter.
See the thing
so
about it, Brandon,
bitter.
I'm rooting for the guy. He's a good guy. He's great, but it's just the Jets fans who want him back and say that. I know what.
Well,
I'm not even getting into
what's
it right
wrong,
now.
What's wrong with Chip Kelly coaching him up and sending him back all fine-tuned? It's like a car.
It's not.
You let your car go for a year. You let the car go for a year.
It's the offense, Brandon.
You put the car into the mechanic. The mechanic takes his, you know, puts his little spin on it. He fixes the car up and he gives it back to you. We got to rent the car for this year.
I think we're going to have to come to agreement right now that on Jets Nation Radio, there's going to be no more Mark Sanchez talk, because then you're really going to see me go on a rant and you're really going to see me
get mad. Michael Vick is the Enterprise of this year. Let's bring the car back next year, fine-tuned by Chip Kelly, and we'll see what the next Dan Marino has.
No. I'm done with Mark Sanchez.
I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers at home. I really think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football right now. They're soaring through football games. That's my word of the night, by the way. They're playing at such a high level. The defense looks good. I really think Green Bay could be a Super Bowl team. I think they already are one, but I think they really have a good shot to win it. I don't think a lot of people are talking about them as a team that could win the Super Bowl. I like Green Bay at home. I think Philly's going to play tough, but they're due for a loss. You know, sitting at 7-2, Philadelphia is definitely due for a loss, and I think Green Bay at home is too good. The home field advantage is what gives it to the Packers in this one. Seattle goes into Kansas City. Seattle with a nice win at home against the Giants. Kansas City with a nice win on the road against Buffalo. Do the Seahawks get on the road and get back on track and start stringing some wins in a row and get themselves back into first place, by getting their record up a little bit here towards the end of the year?
Since we're talking about words of the week before, I think since we're gonna have that, I have to get you a little pissed off since you're pissing me off, and we have to do spark as the word of the week last week, since you kind of said it that Michael Vick, I don't think you had said exactly spark, but I do remember you saying that he provided something to this offense. So spark was the word of the week last week. But for the game, I agree with you. I think that the Seahawks are going to get back on their horse. They're 6-3. I know that's a good record, but they have definitely been disappointing. They've had close games with the Panthers, teams like the Redskins, teams like the Raiders, and then they lost to the Rams. So they have been definitely a disappointment this year. And it's hard to pick against the Chiefs right now, actually, because the Chiefs have really impressed me. I didn't think they were going to be as good as they are right now, especially with their offensive line, but they've been pretty impressive. But as of right now, I think it's the Seahawks' time to get back on track.
I think this is going to be a tough game for Seattle. I think as much as Seattle prides the home field advantage, Kansas City really started home field advantage with the way that stadium is set up and the way those fans cheer. I think Kansas City is going to be geared up for a big game. I'm going to take a chance on the Chiefs in this one. I'm going to take a chance on them against the Seahawks, who are coming off a nice home win. I don't think that they're ready to go into Kansas City and beat up on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are a physical team. They play great up front. You know, they have a good defense. I think that Seattle will not be able to run the ball like they did against the Giants, which is ridiculous how many rushing yards they put up. I don't think that, you know, they'll be that effective against the Chiefs. I'm going to take Kansas City at home. Our last game here, New England goes into Indianapolis. No, it's not Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady for the 100th time. It's Tom Brady versus Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. New England coming off the beating of the Denver Broncos, coming off of their bye week. They go into Indy on Sunday Night Football. Indianapolis has so much to prove. A lot of people still don't consider them a top team in the AFC, like a Denver and New England. Who wins and why, Joe?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I don't think that I'm one of those people who don't think they are up there with the Patriots and the Broncos. I think when everybody thinks about the conference championship game, it's going to be the Patriots versus the Broncos. I agree with most of those fans. I don't think Indy is quite on that level. I think they're a tier below. The Patriots have been they're 7-2. They have been extremely hot ever since they lost to the Chiefs 14-41. So they have been extremely impressive. Tom Brady has been very impressive considering some of the weapons he has outside. The Colts are 6-3, so they're good. They're a good team, but five of those wins include the Jaguars, the Titans, the Texans, the Bengals, who are playing terribly. We both picked them to beat the Browns last week, and we saw what happened on Thursday night. They basically embarrassed themselves at home, and then they beat the Giants. So Indy still has to prove themselves as a 6-3 team. A lot of those teams aren't good teams. They're not playoff teams, so I think this will be a big test for them going against the Patriots at home. But I think the Patriots are just too hot, and I think they're going to come, and they're going to take it, and they're going to be 8-2 through the first 10.
Really? I am going to go with the Colts. Man, I can't wait to pick up all these games on you. It's going to be awesome. I might roll right into first place after this week. Do I have a shot to do that if I pick up three games?
Let's see. No.
Check our standings here.
Let's see. I'm going to flip a page back. I'm 28. I'm 5 games up on you right now, so you don't have a chance. We picked three
all
different
right,
games this
right.
week, so you have, you
play,
have a chance
I'm
to make
play
it two.
Small ball. I'm going to play small ball. I'm going to chip away at the lead. I'm going to get back in. There's still a half a season left to play. I'm going with the Colts at home. I think at home, prime time, New England coming off the bye week, whatever anybody wants to say, the bye week does stop your momentum, especially.
Oh, they're both coming off the bye week, Brandon.
Right, but Indianapolis is not coming off a win at home against maybe the best team in football, the Denver Broncos. So I think that the Patriots would have loved to play this game last Sunday. I think going into Indianapolis, the Colts have something to prove. They're at home, prime time. I'm taking Indianapolis in this football game. Remember, if you want to pick against us, head over to JetNation.com. It's Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. And also, the football talk does not stop on Jet Nation Radio. You can check us out at JetNation.com. Check out the forums. They're exploding every day. What do you think of Michael Vick? Who do you think should be fired after the end of this year, the way the Jets are headed? How pumped up are you to finally see a New York Jets win? Sound off at JetNation.com in the forums. And, Joe, I have one more pick. I am going to make a big pick. We're adding a game this week. I am going to take the I'm taking the Jets against the bye week, and I'm giving a point.
Yeah. But the thing about the bye week is we don't win on the bye week because historically we are a terrible team after the bye week with Rex Ryan. So I think that should be changed. I think you should edit that out. I don't think we're going to win to the bye week because we always lose.
We're going to beat the bye week. And, Joe, I think if you go to MetLife Stadium on Sunday, Joe, with your Jet jersey on, you can probably upgrade your seats to the lower level. I think there'll be a lot available at
I'm with the real fans. The real fans, Brandon.
As always, a pleasure. And again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.